Good morning and welcome to All Saints Church, Fordham and Atash Green. My name is Francis Blight and today is Sunday the 17th of January. This is a service of covenant renewal and I'll explain more about that in a moment. All you need for today's worship and teaching can be found in the notice sheet and in a Bible. Today we're joining in online from home. We're physically separated, but we're still coming together as Jesus' community to worship him and to learn from his word. The covenant renewal service comes from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Covenant was basic to Wesley's understanding of Christian discipleship. He saw the human relationship with God in covenant as being like a marriage between human beings, both for individuals and for us all together as a community, us on one side and God in Christ on the other. And this comes from teaching in Ephesians chapter 5. Wesley recognized that people need not just to accept relationship with God at the beginning of their Christian life, but also to grow in relationship with God. He therefore emphasized that God's grace and love constantly prompts and seeks to transform us, and so we should continually seek and pray to grow in holiness and love. And we're going to do that today. This renewal service is therefore not about acquiring a relationship with God, but living within the loving relationship that God has already offered us. So today, as a new year begins and in the midst of this pandemic, we will dedicate ourselves afresh to ongoing discipleship and pursuit of a Christ-like character. We come seeking God's sanctification in our lives. We do this individually as families and together as God's people. At the heart of our focus today is the prayer titled A Covenant with God, which is on page 2 of the service sheet. Last Sunday, I encouraged you to take some time to prepare for this moment. Through this prayer, we will be completely offering ourselves to God for his will and purpose, whatever our circumstances, be they pleasant to us or difficult. And this wholehearted offering makes it particularly helpful for the current pandemic moment. Today's covenant renewal is a serious matter, and most people find it quite tough to say and to really mean it. If we were meeting together in person, we would have combined the renewal prayer with remembering God's new covenant in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. In the second half of the service, our focus moves to today's main Bible reading from the book of Revelation chapter 5. And I'll be preaching with the title, The Scroll and the Lion Lamb. In the building with me are just 4 other people. The Brett family will be leading the prayers today and giving the first Bible reading. And Julian Griffiths is broadcasting the service. Let us come before God in prayer as we begin. Almighty God, you search our hearts and you see every part of us. All our desires are known to you, and from you no secrets are hidden. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts so we may perfectly love you and glorify your holy name. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn of worship was written by John Wesley's brother, Charles. It's called Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning for our redemption, for your grace, for your glory. We consider again today the covenant that you've made with us through the blood of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. His blood helps and benefits us. His blood makes us clean. Help us now as we recommit ourselves to you this morning. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from John chapter 15, and Josh Brett's going to come and read that for us now.
Today's first Bible reading is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Josh. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a life found in Christ, redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. We are those who've entered into this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator of this covenant. He sealed it with his own blood so that it would last forever. On one side of this covenant stands God, who promises to give us new life in Jesus Christ. Every day, God proves his goodness and grace to us, showing us that his promise still stands firm. On the other side, we stand as those who promise to no longer live life for ourselves, but instead to only live for Jesus Christ, because he's loved us and given his life for us. There are times in our lives when it's important for us to remember and reaffirm our promises and vows. In the same way, we come today to renew our covenant with God. Many generations have done this before us. And we do this particularly at the beginning of a new year and at this moment of national and international pandemic. Today, we renew with both joy and sincerity the covenant that binds us to God. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. The words of confession are on page 2 of the service sheet, and they'll also appear on the live stream. A moment of quiet for self-examination and reflection. Let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart, my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good I have left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we ask. Amen. The words of the covenant prayer are on page 2 of the notice sheet. Now this must be a voluntary act, so please do not feel compelled to pray this if you're not ready to do so. Wherever you're listening or watching from, as long as it's safe to do so, will you please stand? Beloved in Christ, let us again claim for ourselves this covenant which God has made with his people, and take upon us the yoke of Christ. This means that we are content that he appoint our place and work, and that he himself be our reward. Jesus Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and our material interests, but others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. We say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, gracious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray as we stand. O God, you know that we renew our covenant with you today in sincerity, without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in us, guide us and help us to set it right. And now glory be to you, God the Father. You are our God and Father. Glory be to you, God the Son. You have loved us and washed us from our sins in your own blood. You are our Saviour and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit. By your almighty power, you have turned our hearts from sin to God. You are our Comforter and Guide. O mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are ours and we are yours. Use us as a community and fellowship for your purposes at this time. Bind us together in love to work for your kingdom. Amen. As we seek God today for his will and direction in our lives, I invite you to sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of
Our second Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Jemima Holt has recorded today's reading from her home.
Verses 1 to 14. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which were seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it away, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
Let's pray together as we come to think about Revelation chapter 5. Heavenly Father, we've sought you for renewal of our covenant and recommitment to you this morning. And now we come to listen to your word and to think about its meaning. We seek you, Lord, that we might know how you want us to live, and that we might see you as you truly are. Please lead us now. Amen. Revelation is a strange and mysterious bit of the Bible for many people today, perhaps for most people. And as I begin this talk, it is helpful to know that the book of Revelation is the record of a series of visions given by God to a man called John. The visions occurred in the second half of the first century AD, some decades after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. They occurred during a period when churches were being persecuted by the Roman Empire for their faith in Jesus Christ. John experienced the visions while in prison for his faith and beliefs. Chapter 1, verse 1 begins by describing the book as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And today's chapter, chapter 5, is very much a revelation of Jesus. Indeed, my prayer is that it may reveal more of who Jesus is to you. I hope that it will strengthen your vision of Jesus so that you will be able to worship him with renewed wonder and gratitude. If you have sight of a Bible, it would be helpful to have the Bible passage open in front of you. We'll look at a number of the verses together. And if you find it helpful to make notes, then the space on page 5 of the notice sheet, and there are some blanks to fill in if you'd like to do that. This talk is structured around 4 questions, which will lead you into the meaning and details of this wonderful section of God's Word. And section 3 is the longest of the 4. So the chapter begins with John seeing God seated on his heavenly throne. In God's hand is a scroll with 7 seals. So our first question is, what is the scroll with 7 seals? The book of Revelation is very much connected with the Old Testament book of Daniel. And it seems that this scroll is connected with Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll. Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the end, until the time of the end. According to Gregory Beale, a scholar who's written on the book of Revelation, the scroll is best understood as containing God's plan of judgment and redemption. The best way to describe it simply is that the scroll contains God's master plan. And the scroll is sealed up. A mighty angel proclaims in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" According to Beale, this question concerns who in God's created order has authority over this plan. The scroll represents authority to carry out God's master plan of judgment and redemption, bringing justice and salvation. In our current moment of rising death rates, of lockdown, and of a rapidly transmitting strain of the virus, it is good to remember that God is in charge and that he has a master plan. Only a worthy person can break the seals and open the scroll. So the angel's big question is, who is worthy? And this is our second question. Who is worthy to open the scroll? The angel asks the question, and it's met with silence. At this, John breaks down and weeps. It seems that no one is worthy to carry out God's master plan. But then one of the elders speaks to John in verse 5. "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals." So who is worthy? Answer, it's the Lion King, the person who is the Lion King. Now he's got here in verse 5 messianic titles, and you need to know your Old Testament a bit to understand the references. Let me explain them to you briefly. He's powerful like a lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God's people in the Old Testament were descended from the 12 sons of a man called Jacob. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and his descendants became known as the Israelites. One of Israel's sons was called Judah, and the Messiah would be in the line of Judah, a descendant of Judah. Israel's final blessing to his son Judah at the end of the book of Genesis explains the lion reference. And that's just going to come up on the screen. Genesis 49. "You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until it comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. The one who is worthy to open the scroll will be powerful like a lion, a powerful ruler, a king. The worthy one is also described as the root of King David in verse 5. David was a king in the line of Judah, a descendant of Judah. The one who's worthy to open the scroll will also be a descendant of Judah and a descendant from the great Israelite king David. This mighty lion king will be worthy to carry out God's master plan of judgment and redemption. So third question, who is the lion king? Well, I'm sure that many of you by this point will have realized that the Lion King is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lion King. But when we consider Jesus' earthly life, was he a powerful king? Well, on one hand, yes. He demonstrated extraordinary power in his ability to control nature, his authority over evil spirits, his power over death, unlike anybody else. But on the other hand, no, he never had an official kingly authority in the Israelite community. He was never part of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. So how can we say that Jesus is the mighty Lion King, the Messianic King? How can we call him the Christ when he never actually ruled as king over Israel in the way that David and Solomon did in the past and the way that Herod did during Jesus' day? This was very much a question for the church when John received his visions in the first century AD. Was Jesus the real Messiah, the real Lion King, or was he just a failed messianic pretender? This remains an important question today because many in the Jewish community today don't believe that Jesus is their Lion King, the Messiah. Like in the first century, some Jewish people follow Jesus as their true Messiah, but many don't. So who is the Lion King? And this is where the vision gets really interesting. The book of Revelation is full of symbolic images. It's famous for it. Now, at this point in John's vision, we would expect some kind of fantastic lion to now appear. A great, awesome lion, perhaps with wings and perhaps with a number of horns on its head. But strikingly and oddly, John doesn't see a lion. He sees a sheep. Verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. We need to get hold of how odd that is in the vision. Verse 7, he, the lamb, came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. The mighty Lion of Judah, the mighty king who's worthy to open the scroll, is in fact a lamb. The Lion King is a lamb. And this is a wonderful biblical image, rich in meaning. The lion is an image of power that goes with the dynasty of kings descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. The lion image goes together with the king's palace in Jerusalem and the throne as symbols of authority to rule. But the lamb is a completely different image in the Old Testament. The lamb is a weak animal that is sacrificed to take away sins. John sees in verse 6 a lamb looking like it had been slain. The lamb image goes back to the Old Testament temple in Jerusalem and the altar of sacrifice. Lion throne, lamb altar. Quite different biblical images. The vision combines two previously completely separate biblical images. To use a musical analogy, it's a kind of scripture mashup or a Bible remix, like taking two completely different forms of music and mixing them together. Imagine mixing opera with jazz music or country music with dubstep. That's how it is with lion and lamb. They don't go together. But wonderfully, in Jesus, they do. For the first time, lion and lamb came together in one person. Throne and altar came together. King and sacrifice for sins came together. Ruling and humility came together. The lamb who died on the cross for our sins is the great Lion King descended from Judah. And John's vision gives us some more details. In verse 6, we see that the lamb has seven horns. In the Bible, a horn is a symbol of power. I think it comes from an animal like a rhino and the great power that the animal has in the horn. In his visions, John saw several creatures with horns. They're recorded through the book of Revelation. Normally, they appear on powerful beasts, depicting kingdoms and rulers who oppress God's people. But here, the horn symbol appears on an animal which is not powerful, a lamb. The lamb has seven horns. The number seven in the Bible is symbolic for completeness and fullness. So the seven horns refer to the lamb's complete power. He's powerful like a lion. But when John looks at the lamb, he can see that he's been slain or killed and has come back to life. John is seeing a symbolic vision of Jesus, who died on the cross as a lamb and then returned to life. If you listened to last year's Philippians teaching series, I hope you can see how this fits with the poem about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. If you remember that, Jesus went low, he left heaven, he stepped down from heaven humbly and became a human like us, and then he went even lower and was humiliated and humbled to death on a cross. But then God raised him up to the highest place. You see, Jesus wasn't like other human kings. He was a servant king, a lamb lion. And in his death on the cross, he created a new kind of leadership, a new model for leadership, which has radically shaped our expectations of leadership to today. It's changed leadership culture. John's vision is telling us that when Jesus died, he was functioning as a sacrificial lamb. But Jesus is also the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is where we get to the really profound bit. Jesus' kingly power, his lion nature, was demonstrated in his weakest moment on the cross. Jewish expectations of a powerful ruler were overturned in the life and death of Jesus. Jesus' life demonstrated great power, but not power as expressed in normal earthly government. The triumph of the Lion Lamb, the way he expressed his great work of kingship, was when he was slaughtered and slain on the cross. And in Revelation chapter 5, we see that his worthiness to open the scroll, that is God's master plan, is because of his death, not in spite of it. It's a reason to worship Jesus. In the heavenly song of praise that begins in verse 9, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. This is a complete overturning of normal human values about power and triumph. A king or hero's untimely death is normally the end of their power. It isn't their triumph, it's their failure. But in Jesus Christ, God has turned it all upside down. Normal human power is inverted, so that what would, from a human perspective, look like failure is now a triumph. In the Gospels, the Jewish leaders who brought Jesus to the Roman governor, requesting his death, mocked Jesus when he was on the cross. Matthew chapter 27. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. They thought that his death on the cross was proof of Jesus' failure, proof that he was a false Messiah. But ironically, against all previous human wisdom, the cross was Jesus' triumph, a triumph over the sins that kept God from having a people of his own. So the bringing together of two previously separate biblical categories, the lion and the lamb, help us to understand the new form of power that Jesus exhibited. In Jesus Christ, God did a wonderful new thing, and it has changed the world. Now, you may wonder why I haven't used any pictures of lions and lambs on my PowerPoint to illustrate this wonderful truth. The reason I haven't is because I just don't think that there are really any visual images that can help us here. These profound ideas are conveyed to us in word pictures. Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, who fulfills the Old Testament promises. But he was a new kind of king who did it in a way that literally nobody expected, not even his closest disciples. He is the lion-lamb king. He's worthy to open the scroll and carry out God's master plan of judgment and redemption because he was slain. Well, finally, and more briefly, our fourth question. What is the result of the lion-lamb's triumphant death? Two things. Firstly, the result is worship. Chapter 5 ends with three worship songs. Firstly, the inner heavenly circle around God's throne sing a song of praise to the Lion Lamb. Then the outer heavenly circle sing a song of praise. John says that he sees 10,000 times 10,000 angels encircling the throne and singing. I got my calculator out. That's 10 million angels. Then John hears the whole of creation singing praise to God and to the Lamb, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. When we grasp the scale of John's vision at this point, it's quite staggering. The result of Jesus' death for sin is worship and celebration. The vision in Revelation chapter 5 tells us that it is the central event in God's dealings with humanity. And in John's vision, it has the effect of making all of heaven burst into song, and then all the creatures on earth do the same. Secondly, the song of heaven tells us the result of the Lamb's death in verse 9. With your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Jesus' blood shed on the cross bought people for God. In doing that, in dying on the cross, Jesus did the work to make a multinational kingdom of people from every country and language, including the British. So the answer is, it made a multinational kingdom. The language of purchase here is the language of buying slaves in the slave market. We are bought from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of death. We are bought by God and for God. And at a moment of international pandemic, that is good news. God owns all of humanity because he created us. But if today you're trusting in Jesus' sacrifice for your salvation, then you are twice owned by God. Once because he created you, and a second time because he purchased you with the blood of Jesus. It's a double ownership, a double love. If you trust Jesus and are his disciple, then God owns you, and you are part of the covenant that we've renewed today. God owns the church through the death of the Lion Lamb. John Stott helpfully applies this to us in his book, The Cross of Christ. Because God has bought us through Christ, we mustn't become enslaved to anybody or anything else. Not to any other person, not to money, not to power, not to another god or philosophical system. Once we were slaves to sin, now we are slaves to God, and his service is true freedom. So as we come to the end of this talk, let me summarize. The scroll contains God's master plan. Only Jesus is worthy to open the scroll, which means that he has authority to carry out God's plan of judgment and redemption. John's vision presents Jesus as the true Christ. He saw Jesus, the Lion King, who triumphed over sin as a sacrificial lamb when he died on the cross. Because Jesus was slain, he is worthy of our worship. And the result of the Lion Lamb's triumphant death is the purchasing of an international kingdom for God. This has been worked out throughout the world today as people turn to follow Jesus as their king. It continues to be worked out in January 2021, even in the midst of a health emergency. So are you following Jesus, the Lion Lamb, as your king? Because Jesus was slain, he's worthy of our worship. So let's do that now with fresh wonder. Our next song is called He is Worthy, and it's a new song for our church here in Fordham and Atash Green. Its chorus is based on Revelation chapter 5 and the heavenly songs that John recorded. During this time when we are facing difficulties of many kinds, some privately at home, some in complicated workplaces, the verses help us to focus on Jesus, the worthy one, the Lion Lamb.
Do you feel the world's broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? A new creation comes. glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he has taken his root in the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Continue in worship using words taken from the book of Revelation. The affirmation of faith is on page 4. Let us worship God together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will, they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Nick and Ali Brett are going to come lead us in prayer.
The We're going to begin by reading the collect prayer today. You can find it on page 4 of the notice sheet. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come together this Sunday morning, we thank you for technology which helps us to reach those who are listening at home to hear your word during this lockdown period. We thank you for the COVID vaccines and pray for its successful rollout to the whole population in a timely, efficient, and effective way. We thank you that there is an end in sight to the fear of this dreadful virus. We pray for those still suffering and ill, and hold them and their families up to you. We pray for people to adhere to the safety rules to prevent further spread and harm. In these dark, uncertain days, we pray for wisdom for our world leaders to lead and guide with holy priorities. As we hear in the news of conflict and poverty, we pray for protection against these things. Father, we pray for those less fortunate than ourselves who may not have enough food to eat, clothes to wear, warmth, and face the threat of redundancy. We pray that you help us be more Christ-like in giving generously to those in need. Thank you, Lord, that you know everything about us. And we say sorry for our sins, and thank you that you forgive us. We pray that you keep us safe in your loving hands, and pray for opportunities in our daily lives to use the skills you have given us to be messengers of the true meaning of Christianity, to share the good news of Jesus Christ as our Saviour with our friends, families, and colleagues who don't yet know you. We praise and worship you for the love of Jesus Christ, the only one who can break the seal and open the scroll to lead us into the new creation, as a glorious light guiding us through the midst of this dark and broken world. What a joy it is to commit our lives to you. Father, we pray for peace and comfort for those known to us who are ill in body, mind, and spirit, and those grieving for the loss of a loved one. We take a moment to say their names in our hearts and raise them up to you. Thank you, Lord, for the consistent work of Francis and Georgina, the PCC, office staff, and all volunteers who have ensured that your word is heard and services and fellowship has continued when normality has been restricted. We pray for the week ahead. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so our thoughts, conversations, decisions, and behavior be a light in the darkness and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And finally, we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Nick and Ali, for leading us in prayer. We're coming to the close of this service and some items of church family news. I look forward to seeing you on Zoom Coffee this morning from 11:30 to 12:30. This weekly time is holding us together as a church community during this COVID season. Each time we meet, it divides roughly into three chunks, two in small breakout groups for chat and conversation, and then one section altogether where we can discuss the service. So today we'll talk about the covenant renewal and Revelation chapter 5. The All Saints Club is meeting online this afternoon with chat, games, Bible teaching and prayers. 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. Christianity Explored begins this Thursday evening online, 7:45 p.m. The course gives time and space to investigate the life and teachings of Jesus. Who is he? Why did he come? What's it mean to follow him? Registration details are on the notice sheet and the church website. And I encourage church members to invite someone. Perhaps you could send a message with a link to the website page. Would you be able to serve as a governor for Fordham School? We have a foundation governor place that we really need to fill. You'd be welcome to join in on a meeting to see how it works before committing. Please think and pray about this and let me know if you'd like to serve in this way. We're preparing for a 421 Games night in 2 weeks' time on the 29th of February. This will be on Zoom for young people aged 11 to 18. We look forward to team games and prizes. 15 people have signed up so far. And if you're interested, please send a message to the email address in the notice sheet by the end of this week. And those of you who are serving in All Saints Club and plan to serve in 421 this year, I invite you to join in on the Equip Conference on Saturday, the 6th of February. They're doing it this year online, as you might imagine. There'll be quality seminars to inspire and re-energize us in our children's and youth work. Please have a look at the back of today's notice sheet to find out more. Next Sunday, we start a new teaching service, a new teaching series on the Book of Ruth. It's going to be four Sundays long. This book is a hidden treasure in the Old Testament. It's a very personal tale about a woman called Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. It's a story of loyalty and redemption as together they move from emptiness in the land of Moab to fullness and blessing in Bethlehem. It's only a few pages long, so I encourage you to read the whole story in one sitting this week, or you could listen to it online, perhaps through something like Bible Gateway. As the series begins, it would be a great moment to join an online growth group so that you can study Ruth and pray with others in a small group. Please contact the church office if you're interested. On page 6 of today's notice sheet, there's a recommendation of a study workbook, Ruth, Poverty and Plenty by Tim Chester. You can use this individually, and you can also use it in your growth group alongside the Sunday teaching program. Copies can be ordered from the Good Book Company. Just to say that I ordered through Amazon, but it turns out that they won't have copies in stock for over a month. So the Good Book Company is the one to go for. Let's finish with a prayer and a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together this morning, even though we are remote in our own homes. We thank you that we can still gather to worship you and to listen to your word. We've renewed our covenant with you, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much that we belong to you and you belong to us. And we pray that you would lead us this week in living faithfully for you. Please help us in our homes, mainly in our homes, but for some of us in the workplace as well. Please lead our way. May our God, who establishes covenant relationship with those who seek to enter the kingdom, be with you always. May Jesus Christ, who seals the new covenant with his blood on the cross, bring you peace. May the Holy Spirit guide your life both now and forever. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.